get lost in you. So anyone who finds me first finds you. I wanna be one with you. Where I end, you begin and keep on going. I wanna breathe you in. So every time I breathe out, you're
Hi, I'm Mike Spaulding. Welcome to the Transforming Word radio program. I consider it a great privilege to teach God's Word to you each day. Today we will be studying in the book of 1 Timothy, where we will find many of the great doctrines of church, life, and practice spelled out. Open your Bibles and join me now for another study in the Word. My prayer is that God will transform your heart as you consider all that He speaks to you today.
When we start chasing money, we're going to segue into money now. When we start chasing the mighty dollar bill, it robs you of today. You become wholly dissatisfied with today. You can't wait for tomorrow because that's a new opportunity to make another dollar. You can't be bothered with what's going on in life today. My focus is on tomorrow, constantly reaching, striving for that next dollar. But if you can grasp the biblical view of what it means to be content, that what you have is God's sufficiency for you, and you find your joy in that, then that whole vein of dissatisfaction, and I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here or not, if it's resonating with you, then maybe I am. A second benefit of biblical contentment is that it releases us from the pangs of envy and jealousy. Oh, man. It's popular in a culture, but I've even seen it in some Christians' lives. We define it as keeping up with the Joneses. If you look on another brother or sister and the things that God has blessed them with and you're jealous or envious of that, you might be suffering from this. When you get the biblical view of contentment, you don't worry about envy, jealousy. You can actually applaud the success of other people. Well, God bless you, man. That's awesome. I'm glad that He's blessing you. You evidently had need for that. The third and most important benefit of biblical contentment, though, is that it cultivates a grateful heart toward God for what you do have as opposed to bitterness over what you don't. Hello? You're not saying, man, this just ain't right. This just ain't fair. I should have this or I should have that. Have you talked to God about it? Contentment is impossible, and I listed three things here. It's impossible if, number one, we allow anything other than basic necessities to become absolutely essential. You remember my illustration before? Four tires. It starts dependably and gets you from A to B. In our culture, an automobile is a need. It just is. We have to have transportation. Do you need to have a Porsche? Nobody's got a Porsche here, right? Okay, I'm safe. Do you need to have a Porsche? Mm-mm. You don't. Part of the problem in our culture, and it has infected the church, brothers and sisters, is that we have taken our wants and we've somehow pulled them over into the category of needs. And we've determined that we need these things. You'd be surprised to learn, well, maybe you wouldn't. The scriptures, well, Paul's going to say it if we get to it. We're not going to get to it. Paul's going to say in the scripture, in just a second, that we have basically two needs. Now, The Scripture says we have three needs. We have need for food, and we have need for water, and we have need for clothing. That's basically it. Now, I know you're thinking, now, wait a minute. No, Maslow's hierarchy says that I have some need for basic necessities of life is the point. And if we allow anything else to become absolutely essential, that's a want. If we move that want over to the need category, we have messed up. What's going to happen if we move a want over to the need? We are focused on that. How many have ever been in that place when you're so focused on something, man, and you're just consumed by it? Yeah. Yep. Me too, and I've had to pray about that lately. You know, I'm a planning kind of guy. I like to look ahead. Well, I'm wanting to get a truck. I've wanted to get a truck for 8-9 years. I refused to get a truck 8-9 years ago because of gas prices. Yeah, they were $1.50 then. I got a car instead. It's better on gas mileage. I'm wanting a truck. I've been looking at trucks a lot lately. The Lord said, what are you doing? I'm looking at trucks, Lord. I want to know, you know, get all the data collected, what I'm going to spend, the year, the mileage, all the options. You know, I'm going to get a truck. Do you need that? No, it's a want. It's a want. Now, he may bless me with that. But here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to be the bull in the china shop that blows right past what he's telling me in order to have that want. I'm up to 195,000 miles on my Chrysler now. I figure by about October, I'm going to watch that baby turn 2. Hey, maybe that's it. Then the truck will be a need. Yeah. Should I be praying for my Chrysler to break down? No, Lord, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Don't you be praying for me like that either. Don't you do that. You get my point. I probably labored that too long. If making money, number two, becomes our focus to the detriment of your relationship with God and people. Yeah. Because what happens if you bypass God's will for you and you grab a hold of that thing that really is a want? It needs attention. You got to maintain it. It demands some of your resources. Well, if you're taking resources away from this to pay attention to this, and guys, let me pick on us for a second. We're especially prone to that. Guys are especially prone to, well, we've only got so much time and we're going to divide up our time between the things. And guess what? We start shortchanging things that we really shouldn't be shortchanging in order to maintain some of the things we really should be cutting back on. That's a guy thing. Three, contentment is impossible if we become hoarders and not givers. Do you know what I've discovered in my Christian life? This is true. I keep giving money away, and God keeps giving me money. I keep giving money to people, and God keeps giving me money. What's the secret? Giving. Well, hey, maybe I'll just take a 30-day hiatus on giving, and I'll... No. You start hoarding, and the giving will stop. God doesn't give so we can accumulate. He gives so that we can bless other people. That's the whole point. So, contentment touches everything that we are. In verse 6, we've learned that contentment flows out of godliness, i.e., it is one trait or characteristic of godliness. In the rest of 1 Timothy 6, we'll see that contentment informs a right attitude about possessions. You remember last week I told you, look at the rest of the chapter within the context of these three areas, about our possessions in verse 7 and 8, about our riches in 9, 10, and 17, and about character in 18 and 19. Now, we have a few minutes, so let's jump into the text, shall we? So godliness, verse 6, actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Now you understand what contentment is. If we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. Listen, I've said this before, brothers and sisters. You can accumulate all that stuff if you want to, but when you die, somebody else is going to spend it. And believe me, they're going to spend it. It may have been valuable to you, but it's just a means to get what they want. You think that car you've got, that they're, your pride and joy, they're going to hang on to that because that was Dad's? Ha! Show me the money, baby. They're going to be selling it. That motorcycle, that boat, sold. Show me the money. We've brought nothing into the world, so we can't take it out. Stop hoarding. Stop accumulating. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't make plans for retirement. That's not what I mean. But, well, I don't have time. Retirement's a whole other topic, right? I don't find any place in the Scriptures where it says that we should look forward to the day when we stop working, buy a house on a golf course, and then just enjoy life for the rest of our days. Where do you see that at? I don't see that anywhere. Especially when you're a believer, if you retire from a job, that frees you up for more ministry. That's the attitude we should have. If we've brought nothing into the world, so we can't take anything out of it either. That's exactly what Job said. Job chapter 1. Naked I came into the world, naked I'm going to leave. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. There you go. There's two of those three that I mentioned. Contentment, food, and covering. If God takes care of our basic needs, that's the secret to joy, being content with God's sufficiency for us. Not constantly looking, oh, but I've got to have that 50-inch flat-screen LCD plasma TV, and then I'll be content. Here's a newsflash. You'll have it, and 2 weeks later, you'll be straying, looking at something. Oh, you'll be chasing something else. But those who want to get rich, there are a lot of folks that want to get rich today. And to their shame, and to the shame of pastors who cultivate that attitude, many of them are in the church. Their whole focus is on what can I get from God. Those who have that attitude, who want to get rich, notice these three things in verse 9. They fall into number 1, temptation. Number 2, a snare. What's a snare? That's a trap. And number 3, many foolish and harmful desires. And look at what the result is of temptation, snares, and foolish and harmful desires. It plunges men into ruin and destruction. Do you understand that our enemy will lay a trap for you if he sees that you've got your eyes off of the ministry and his calling on your life and you're starting to mess around in other stuff, chasing riches? Do you understand that you're about to fall hard? The enemy will use that against you. For the love of money is, notice the word, a root. Now, I've heard a lot of people quote this, and they say it is the root, as if it's the only root. It is one of several. The love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. Now, you know this is true, and we have sayings that make this point. And one of them is, what? Follow the money. When you're talking within the context of why'd they do this and why, how'd that happen? Can you believe they did this? Yeah. You know why? Follow the money. That's why. Because money is a huge motivator. So the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That's what's going on today in a good many churches. Pastors are actually spewing that stuff out. They're creating within the sheep this longing, this desire for money. Sadly, they do it because then they manipulate that desire to line their pockets. Oh, I can't believe you're talking about Christians like that. Well, brothers and sisters, it is a fact. There's a reason why a couple of years ago the IRS sent out letters to 6 or 8 very prominent Word Faith pastors and said, we want to see your books. Because it's clearly obvious that you are fleecing your congregations. And what you're doing is illegal. Now, isn't that something that the world would have to police God's under-shepherds? Notice Paul says, verse 11, flee from these things, you man of God. Oh, I would that folks would stand up in their fellowships in the midst of this heretical teaching on money and financial gain and get up and walk out. I'm done with that. Oh, I would that that would happen. Flee from these things, you man of God, and notice these 6 characteristics, these 6 traits, these 6 gifts, if you will, that you are to pursue instead. Righteousness. Righteousness is our hearts and minds yielded to God and living in obedience to His will for us. Godliness, glorifying God with our lives. Faith, trusting God. When we understand and even when we don't. Love. What is love? Love is having someone else's needs elevated above our own. Perseverance. What is perseverance? Well, it's maintaining the first 4 of those, even in trying times. And gentleness. What is gentleness? Well, I like the definition of gentleness that says it is power under control. Power under control. Strength under control. Facing opposition and wrongdoing with composure. That's gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life. So remember the goal, Paul says, to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Good confession in the sense of true confession. I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which He, God, will bring about at the proper time. And by the way, no man knows, right? Has it been revised yet? October of this year? Okay. Yeah, write that down on our calendars. Wayne, don't be calling me. Y'all remember that. I shared that a couple weeks ago, right? On the Saturday it's supposed to happen, I get a call about 7:30. It's Wayne. Hello? Oh, man, I'm so glad you answered the phone. Why? That means you're still here. I was like, oh, man. Nobody knows the time, okay? Nobody knows the time. Only God. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, the glory of God. To Him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited. So Paul has his last parting words. for those with wealth. Don't be conceited or arrogant or fix your hope on the uncertainty of riches. How many of you know? How many of you have seen your 401k in the last 4 or 5 years go? Yeah. I remember back in 2008 when it first started its downward spiral that some of the wealthiest people in the world, they were jumping out of buildings and stuff. You remember that? They saw their wealth just disappearing in an instant. Paul's talking about those people right here. Don't fix your hope on the uncertainty of riches. Do you know that riches can disappear like that? They can. So don't look at your bank account as, there's my security. Oh, it's not really. Mm-mm. There's only one who's your security. And he doesn't need your money. The uncertainty of riches, but on God. So fix your hope on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. So if you have stuff, if God's blessed you with stuff, enjoy that. It's okay. It's not a sin to be rich. It's not wrong to have money. It's a gift from God, actually. Instruct them, these folks, to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future. Yeah, there's a saying that's popular today, pay it forward. You know, they ripped that off from the scriptures. That's what living the Christian life is all about. You're paying it forward, right? Because this is just a dress rehearsal for eternity. That's what this is. So storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. And what is that? It's eternal life. This doesn't matter, brothers and sisters. One day, this is all going to be gone. All of this. Space and time. Finished. The only thing that's real is eternal life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. I have that verse at work on my desk right under my computer screen. Oh, Timothy, guard that has been entrusted to you. It reminds me daily of God's calling on my life. What's important? The thing that I should remember. Guard it. And I encourage you to do the same. Guard that, brothers and sisters. It's precious. Avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. Grace be with you. Well, I had much more to say about money. I didn't really get into that. We'll save that for another time, perhaps. Not going to worry about it today. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters, and try to grab a hold of the biblical truth of contentment, what it really means. Being content in the Lord and what He's provided for you, wherever you're at right now, is going to release you from so many bondages and chains. Study the scriptures and see if it isn't so. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your goodness and mercy toward us. Thank you, Father, for your word that enlightens us, equips us to live, Lord, faithfully in this day and age. We are thankful, Father, for the salvation that is ours in Christ Jesus. And we pray, Lord, for this body of believers, that you would continue to bless us and encourage us. Shine your light, Lord, upon the path that you would have us walk in. Thank you, Father, for the journey that we are in together. Lord, we want to have an impact on Lima. We want to be lights in the darkness, Lord. And we know that as we pray that our lives, Lord, need to line up with that desire. So help us, Lord, to get our lives in order, to be consistent, Lord, with the things that we say we believe. And we know, Lord, that as we do that, you will use us more and more to share the love and mercy and the grace found in Christ Jesus. Go with us now, Father, as we leave this place. Lord, would you bless us, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Refresh us and renew us, Lord. We love you, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to get lost in you. So anyone who finds me first finds you.
That's all we have time for today on the Transforming Word radio program. I hope today's study encouraged you to study the Bible for yourself. Remember, friends, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. The Transforming Word radio program is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel of Lima. Our service times are Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 682 West Grand Avenue in Lima. You may join all of our services live through our internet broadcast at www.cclohio.org. Click Watch Us Live and be a part of our internet family. For more information about the Transforming Word radio ministry, write us at the Transforming Word, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. When you write, please mention the call letters of this station. You may also contact me directly by email at the following address, pastormike@cclohio.org. Join us again tomorrow for another great study in the Bible. God bless you today as you seek Him.